here we are again, Mark. Good to see you this morning on this rainy Monday morning today, actually.
It is, and I flew in from Perth this morning at 1:30 this morning, and yesterday it was 38 degrees in Perth. So, yeah, I'm not sure what I'm meant to be wearing, but anyway.
Well, you know, it's. I think maybe I would rather be in Perth at that temperature myself.
I think so.
So today we've got a really interesting guest, Juliana Gabara. Juliana is the Regional Manager for Business Customers in the, I guess, the Surf Coast region, the Geelong region and the surrounds?
Bellarine, yes.
Good. So welcome, Julia.
Thank you.
Good. Mark, I've met Julia before and I know that she's got a very interesting background, having been born in Brazil.
Correct.
So I think we'll start off our questions, or you can start our questions, and find out a bit about that long journey from being a young girl running around the streets of wherever to now living in Geelong.
So welcome, Juliana.
Thank you.
So
thank you for having me.
No, our pleasure. So let's go right back. Where did you start primary school? We've just been chatting about primary school off microphone. So where did you start primary school?
So I was born in a very small town in Brazil, in the regional area, where my dad was a farmer and my mom a banker. So I started primary school there. And when I was 10, I moved to the capital city of our one state of Brazil in the northeast. So that's because of better schools. So I moved there with my family. So at 10, I moved to a school where it was only for girls. And we need to wear those 38 degrees the whole year, but dresses with long sleeves and had classes to learn how to look after a baby, how to cook, how to clean, how to sew, and all that to become a wife. That was my life.
Oh, no.
At school.
So did you, in the end, have you graduated with honours in that?
No, I think I failed. Yeah, so no, that was, wasn't me. I never thought of becoming a wife, even though I did. But it was a very interesting experience.
So what are your early memories of living in Brazil as, say, in that secondary school years? Are they happy memories?
Yes, it was happy memories, but of course you are a teenager. You don't want to be, you know, looking after babies. And it was like real babies. So families that couldn't afford childcare, they would leave the babies at our school, and then the parents would go to work and the kids would practice looking after the babies. So, oh, wow. Yeah, but you don't want to be doing that, you know. You want to be talking to boys and playing sports, not cleaning nappies.
That is fascinating, Mark.
That
I
is,
haven't
is
heard
it?
Of that before.
No. Was it run by nuns?
No, they were not, but I think they probably should have been.
So, Juliana, what led you then? What was your next step? What was your first job?
Yeah. So before that, so finished school. So I didn't graduate from that school. Mm-hmm. So a couple of years before, when I was 14, my dad passed away. And my dad was from Lebanon. And that's where my last name comes from.
Right.
So I wanted to learn English. And I didn't learn English. I didn't know English. And because my dad passed away and his family was from Lebanon, I wanted to learn English to talk to his family and get to know them a little bit more, because I lost my dad at 14. So I didn't know much about his side. And that was before internet. So you don't have WhatsApp or, you know, emails. It was just letters. So I was able to find out a place that they were talking about exchange program. So I spoke to my mom and convinced her to send me to America.
Oh, wow.
So and when I was 16, I moved to America to do my senior year of high school. So that's where I graduated from high school, was in Greensboro, North Carolina.
That's a long way from Brazil.
Yes.
And much colder than Brazil.
Colder and far away. And I think it was very recently that I had lost my dad. So I was quite sensitive for me to leave the family and be on my own so young and not speaking the language and going to a normal, regular school. I lived with a family that didn't really work out. And then one day I was in a school event and I met a girl and she said, are you enjoying? And I said, not really. I'm thinking of going back. You know, this was 3 months into the program that was supposed to be a year. And then she said, why don't you come and live with me? And I said, okay.
So you moved into her family.
Then her family took me on. Like if I was one of them, I felt so welcome and very happy. Great experience after the move. And still in contact with them. So fantastic. That made the whole difference.
Mark, there's another one of our tipping points.
Yep.
Or your sliding doors.
Sliding
doors. Things happen, and they happen for a reason.
Yeah.
Now, interesting, actually, your name is Juliana De Santo Guevara.
Yes.
So what's the De Santo?
Okay, so that's my mom's. And I was just talking to my friend just before now, and he's like, oh, your name is so long. So is that your husband's last name? And everybody thinks it's my husband, but it is my name. So Juliana is my first name. In Brazil, how it works is you have your name, then you have your mom's last name. So Dos Santos is my mom's last name, which is her dad's last name. And then Jabara is my dad's last name. And then once you get married, you add your husband's last name. And I said, no, it's long enough. I keep the name as is.
So
that's Brazilian, like background is Portuguese.
Okay. Well, you've got a very interesting mix, haven't you?
Yeah.
So have you been to Lebanon, just as an aside?
I have been. So at 17, I went back to Brazil after high school. And then all the family, we went and visit my dad's family. So that was in 97 when I went and met all the family, and was an amazing experience. Spent a month there, got to know my grandma, who recently passed away at 101. Met my cousins, and it was another interesting story. Was, you can see I have a bit of a curly hair, but I didn't know I had curly hair because I only knew my mom's family, and her family is straight hair. And my hair was never straight. So you keep trying to make it straight. It just go like fussy and frizzy. It doesn't work. And
just don't walk in the rain.
And then when I went to Lebanon, I was like, oh, my God, my cousin has beautiful, you know, curly hair, and this cousin curly hair. And I was like, I think I have curly hair. And then when I let go, like stopped trying to straight, I knew I had curly hair. And now I have that.
Your father's genes.
Yes. Right.
Now, you've actually done a lot of study in your life, I notice.
I do.
That's
yes.
Right. I know that you've got a Bachelor of Business.
Yes.
You've got some postgraduate studies.
Yes.
And then after you came to Australia, you actually got your MBA at Macquarie.
Correct.
Business School in Sydney.
Yes.
So I guess you've always had the books open. I don't know where you've had time to have children.
After studying, yes.
So what was the catalyst that got you to come to Australia, and what was your first job when you got to Australia?
Mm-hmm. So in Brazil, for you to get good opportunity, you need to have good studies. So my mom always, and I think also because she didn't want us to be on the streets because she was working. So my mom was a banker as well. So she kind of put us to do extra courses and keep us longer at school. So I did a lot of studies while I was working in Brazil. So like you said, business, mainly business and finance and people management. And got the first job in Brazil in banking, and then was successful and got other jobs in banking in Brazil. And I wanted to do an MBA, but I wanted to do an MBA abroad. So I considered going back to America, but it was time for the global financial crisis, wasn't very good, time to be there. And then my husband said, well, why don't we try Australia? They have great education. You have family there. Let's go check it out. But Australia was so far, you know, it's so far from Brazil. And I said, okay, let's go have a look. And then when I came, I love it. I love Sydney and Australia and Macquarie University. I fell in love and I said, if we come, I want to study here. So I did all the application and was successful. 100 people joined, 100 students joined the MBA, but only 19 completed.
Wow.
And I was the only one to get a sponsorship to work for Bupa Health Insurance. So I wanted to do something different than banking, and I was able to get the role with Bupa. They didn't really had a role when I interviewed, wasn't open, and they had never sponsored a person in Australia because I needed the sponsorship. So they end up that everything worked out, and I got the sponsorship, and I started working for them managing their flagship store, which was at George Street in Sydney. So we had the Bupa Health Insurance and the optical shop and the medical center. So that was my first experience managing a business in Australia.
Good. Well, and now you've done a 360 degree.
Yeah.
You're back in this region now as the regional manager.
Yes.
So yeah. How did that come about?
So after a few years with Bupa, I just stopped and I was like, when I finished the MBA, I want to do something different, which I did with the health insurance. But then I said, what I really want, what I really like is banking. So then I had a chance to go and work for NAB in Sydney as a senior business banker. And then I went to work for them. I believe I did a good job. and then I was approached by a recruiter to be the senior manager for Bendigo Bank in Sydney, which was something I really enjoyed because it was about doing business development. So they needed to grow the market, the business customers in Sydney, and then I got the role. Did very well, ended up being the number one for the bank, the number one banker for Bendigo Bank in the country, and was second in charge of New South Wales. And then came the opportunity to apply for a regional manager role. There was a couple of options, but Geelong, because I have family and smaller city, I decided to come here. But it was interesting because when the role came, I was pregnant. So I was like, should I apply or not? I'm pregnant. You know, like, what's going to happen? My husband said, just forget it. You're not going to get the role. You're pregnant. And then I talked to my manager. He said, no, you should apply. If you really want, and I believe you're ready, apply for the role. If you don't get it now, that's fine. At least they know that you are interested. I said, okay. So I did the went through the process, and first interview I said, I'm pregnant, because we were in lockdown. No one could see that I was pregnant. So I said, I'd like this position. I'm pregnant. I understand if, you know, it doesn't happen now. And it was interesting because one of the guys that were interviewing, they said, you're not going to be pregnant forever, Juliana. I was like, yeah, I don't think I will be pregnant forever. So I was successful and I had a three-month maternity leave, 3 months, and came back. During that 3 months, had the baby, relocated from Sydney, sold my house there, rented a house in Lara, and then started working a year ago, February last year, here in Geelong.
That's good. And the thing I like about that is it's interesting you were worried about saying you were pregnant in applying for the role, but the bank didn't care.
No, didn't.
So that's really, really important.
Yeah, that's true. So I think I have the right employer, you know.
They wanted you. It didn't matter about anything else.
Yes, and I think it's about the values as well, you know, because I don't know if that this situation would have happened anywhere else. You know, I have worked for employers in Australia and overseas, and I think the outcome might have been different.
Yeah, I'd like to think that we're far removed from that. We don't say, we're not going to put somebody there because they could get pregnant or they are pregnant.
Yeah.
If you're the right person for the job, it doesn't matter.
Yes, and didn't matter, so, yeah.
That's really good. So what's your role entail, Juliana? What do you do for the Bendigo Bank now? And do you like living in Geelong?
I do like living in Geelong, still struggling with the weather, so my voice is not the best today. But no, I like Geelong. I think it's what I need with a younger family. But what I do here in Geelong is looking after the business customers. So I have a team of 7 managers, and we look after business customers that have borrowing from $200,000 above. So up to $200,000, the branch looks after, and $200,000 above, my team looks after. And as Bill said, it's from Lara to Geelong, the Bellarine, Bannockburn, Surf Coast, everywhere. So we have 16 branches here that we look after, and my team are all over the place. I am all over the place. We drive a lot, travel a lot, visit customers, discuss their needs, and talk to their accountants or solicitors if need be, because I think that's very important. Especially, you know, most of the business, they're like, oh, I don't want to pay tax yet. But if you want to borrow money, you need to make a profit. And if you make a profit, you do pay tax. So it's that conversation that I think needs to happen with the accountant, solicitors, all the advisors that the businesses have, for us to get the outcome that the customer needs.
And do you have a route? Do you visit these customers on a regular basis? Is that part of the process?
Yeah, so I don't manage them. So my team, who are bank managers, they are often in contact with their customers. We have calling days that we do every quarter that they go and call all the customers, but they should be seeing them often face to face. And then my role is I visit with them. So at least I have 7 visits per month. So at least I go see, I do one visit with one banker every month.
Okay. Well, that's good. Look, in my background in mentoring business and running workshops for small to medium enterprises and sitting on boards of medium-sized businesses, the relationship with the bank, and it's probably changed these days, has always been one of, well, why would I go and talk to the bank? There was sort of this barrier there.
Mm-hmm.
But so if you were giving advice to a business owner about building a relationship with a bank, what would you be saying to them?
Mm-hmm. I think if you are a business owner, you need to see the bank or the banker as your partner. You know, we need to know what's happening. You need to tell us the truth, and you need to share what you are looking to do, what's coming up, so we can be prepared to help you when the time comes. Sometimes customers come and say, you know, I want this loan approved tomorrow. Doesn't happen like that. After the Royal Commission, everything became a little bit harder. We have different ways of assessing. It's not like in the past that the banker knew you, your business, have a handshake and it's done. So a lot of compliance, which sometimes is, you know, drags and it's not fun anymore. But if you can keep us engaged and knowing what's happening, so we can help you through the process to be ready when the time comes. Because you know you need to buy premises a year in advance. You know you are going to buy a car in 6 months. So if you go buy the car and the car arrives and you're like, I need the money now to pay, then it's hard.
Well, let me just interrupt there and tell you a little story. In my 20s, I was working in a family business, and that wasn't going too well.
Mm.
But between my father and I, so I went to Melbourne to start a business under the same name. And, of course, I needed some money to start a business. I needed to go and rent a factory and buy plant and equipment and all this stuff. And I went to the local bank manager. I won't name the bank. and I was talking to him about what I needed and all the rest of it. And, of course, we had the history of our family business behind there. And in the conversation, he said, if you get this started, would you give my son a job? Part-time job. I said, sure, that's fine. And so at the end of the conversation, I walked out of there for the $20,000 loan without anything else to prove I could pay it back.
That's why there was a Royal Commission.
But it was 1969 or 68.
Yeah.
That was the other issue.
Yeah. And how did the business go?
Oh, really well.
Good.
Yeah, that's right. So, and like all businesses, you know, we talk about businesses surviving COVID these days, and then we had the stock exchange crash in 87, I think it was, and then we had the 1990s, the recession we had to have.
Yep.
So, and it's during those times that you need to have a great relationship. But as you quite rightly said, you need to have your plans in place. You need to have your documentation in place.
Yes.
On a monthly basis, I'm still surprised how many small business owners don't know on a monthly basis how their business is tracking.
Correct.
And yeah. There's no excuse today with the software that's available.
Yeah, yeah, that's correct. And it's surprising that sometimes they don't even understand the numbers. You know, they just go to the accountant and the accountant say, you're doing good, you're not doing good. You know, they're like, okay. But if I have shown someone before, this is your profit and loss and this is your balance sheet, and they're like, so what? Like I said, well, it's not looking great, but my accountant said it's good. I said, for borrowing money, it's not. So you need to know what you want to do so we can help you the best way possible and engage us early.
So Juliana, if somebody listening to this is looking to borrow money, what are the two or three steps they need to be doing first before they come to the bank? Mm-hmm. What are the things they need to put in place?
So they need to know where they want to go. So a business plan would be helpful.
That's a good idea.
They need to have their financials ready. So, you know, like we are in 2023 and people still don't have 22. So it's good if they could, but I can do my 22, you know, May, June. Yes, but if you're borrowing money now, we want to see 22 now. So have your financials ready.
Do you need more than 1 year?
Yes, we probably would be asking for 2 or 3.
Yep.
Also because sometimes you get the COVID time and then it's not the real reflection of the business performance. And I think the last one would be understanding the structure. So who is the borrower? How much you want to borrow? How do you plan to repay us? All these steps are important because also in the past you could say, I have equity, give me money, you know, but it's not like that anymore. So how are you going to repay the bank? It's important to articulate that.
That's a good point.
So cash flow analysis? Yeah.
Those? Yes.
Yeah, and that's another point, Mark, is how many people do we see in mentoring and our role with private business where they really don't understand cash flow. Mm. You know, and it's the most important thing. Juliana, just going back last year where I first met you, of course, was Geelong Business Awards. And have you got any comments about observations you made when you did the site visits and spoke to people who were finalists in the business awards? Mm-hmm. Were there any common themes that you saw?
First of all, I think was about the variety of businesses that I saw in Geelong. I wasn't expecting that. I thought it was going to be, you know, simple businesses, but so many great ideas and great businesses. So I was surprised with that. I saw a lot of small businesses, so people that started the business, it's running, it's successful. That was nice to see. At the same time, I saw emerging businesses, so businesses that, you know, the sky is the limit. They can do so much and they can grow so much and they have great ideas, different ideas. They made success out of an idea. So I was surprised with that, happily surprised.
And did you enjoy the judging process?
I did. Met great people like Bill.
I don't think we did one together, did we?
No, but it's good to see that the community engagement, participating in the award. So I think that was very nice to see. Great to participate. Great to learn about Geelong and the businesses, especially being new to Geelong. A lot of hard work because we do take that serious and we, you know, we have the care, the duty of care to make the right decision. So it wasn't easy, but good.
Yeah, Mark, just on that, I think the podcast we put up last week or the week before was with the Coastal Builder.
Yep.
And they made the comment there when we went to visit or do the podcast that they have won for the last 7 years in a row the Housing Industry Australia Regional Business Awards. And the most, I guess, telling comment he made was, well, every year it's forced me to do a business plan. And he said, that's what I really got out of it.
And as we know, Bill, we don't see many businesses with business plans. So I'm sure you're in the same boat, Juliana.
Yeah.
So, Juliana, where do you see yourself in the future? Where do you see yourself going?
Good question. Well, I want to progress further in my career And if this means, you know, needing to move again, I'm flexible. I do like Geelong and I want to be here for a few years. But I think this is what made me successful so far, is having the flexibility to move and challenge myself and not be scared to do different things. So I want to keep growing in the financial sector. I see myself in the financial sector. I think that's what I want for my career.
And trips back to Brazil and Lebanon?
Both places, I don't think are in a good position to have tourists, if you can call me that now. Lebanon has been very hard lately.
It's very sad for Lebanon.
Yes, very sad. It's a beautiful country. Amazing food, amazing people, but it seems that it's just not working, really. In Brazil, I think the violence is still pretty tough. I just got a message this morning from my mom. I think the city where she lives, it's top 20 most violent in the world.
Not a good record to have.
Yeah, so I don't think I will be going anytime soon there.
Has she visited you?
Yes, she has been in Australia a few times. But with COVID since then, she hasn't. But hopefully this year, next year, we can meet somewhere.
Good. One final personal question for me. You've said you've got a number of staff who report to you. And a question we love is if Mark and I went out and interviewed the staff and asked them, what is Juliana's leadership style? What do you think the response would be?
They're here. You can ask them.
Well, you can play this to them when we finish.
I think I am very approachable. I think I'm easygoing, but we do have metrics that we need to follow, and we do have catch-ups often because we do have results we need to deliver. So I think when I need to be serious, I am serious. But I think at the same time, I let them do their job because they are, you know, managers. They are experienced. They know what they need to do. So I'm not that kind of person that's on top of them. But I think, I think I'm a good manager.
Yeah, well, you should have said I am a good manager.
So, Juliana, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure to learn your very, very interesting journey as you've moved across the world to get to little Geelong down here in Australia. So thanks for your time.
Thanks, Juliana. It's been great seeing you today, and we wish you every success in the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.